scripture reading you noticed this morning is Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Acts chapter 6, 1 through 7. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration or giving of food. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not good or reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. I trust the Lord will add his blessing to his word as we have looked at it this morning. Shall we unite our hearts in prayer just before we turn to his word? Father, we want to thank you that we could be here today, being reminded of what you have done for us, even as we anticipate at the end of our service, we're going to be gathering around the Lord's table, taking those elements which remind us of the great sacrifice that was paid in our behalf. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving your life. We thank you for the chance to turn to your word, and I pray today your Spirit would speak to our hearts. I pray that we might be taught not just words, not just academic truth, but I pray that you might be able to minister to our spirits and show us what applies to us and how we can make our relationship with you more meaningful. We thank you again, Lord, for your goodness and your safety to our church congregation. As the storm blew through so quickly Monday evening and with such fierceness, none of our congregation were injured or harmed in any way. How we praise you for your protection. We thank you that we can bring before you some that have special needs, Lord. We think of the Stokers, both with COVID, but Sandy in the hospital, especially with lung problems. Their oxygen level so low when they took her in. May the doctors know what needs to be addressed. Think of ones for whom we have prayed so long, just ongoing things. We think of the Wilsons and Rick. He hasn't been able to be here since way before last Christmas. And we pray, Lord, that you would work your will. Thank you that the report was that he was doing better yesterday. Just restore according to your will, Lord. We pray now we might focus our attention, our hearts on you. I pray, Lord, that you would have the freedom to speak to our hearts what we need. And in closing, I think of pulpits around this land and pastors. I pray for the faithful pastors that are declaring the truth of your word. Empower them through your Holy Spirit. You know, there are so many pulpits and churches in our land that are filled with those that are spreading that which is false and erroneous. But may your hand of blessing be on those pastors that are faithful to your word and to your person and your being and your purposes. We thank you now for this. And you may be seated. The scripture that we read this morning, back in Acts chapter 6, especially those four first verses, may I remind you what those verses said? It said that the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and they said, you know, it's just not right that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you, find you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now imagine you're in the congregation and the task has been given to you. What would you do if you were assigned the task of finding 7 men of honest report that are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom? Would you have a problem? Would you know what to look for? That congregation knew what to look for. And as we read the names, the following verses 5, 6, 7. They appointed them, and they selected them, and the disciples, the 12, laid hands on them and appointed them for that particular ministry in the church. Here's my question. How does one measure the quality of spirituality of a person? They were assigned to find 7 men that were full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. My question is, how do you measure the quality of spirituality in a person? What determines whether a person is spiritual or not? That's what that multitude of disciples were supposed to look for. Hopefully, hopefully as we go through this morning, we can find some answers to help us. For you note takers, number one, what it's not. What it's not. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. And if we're looking, trying to identify genuine spirituality in someone, let's notice first of all what it's not. These things certainly would not qualify one to be considered full of the Spirit. Galatians 5, look at verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance or jealousies, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions or divisions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do or practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. As we look at this, it's some of these things we find listed here, we notice some of these are very plainly not associated with spirituality. Also, if we can look at 1 Corinthians, we wouldn't expect anyone to identify someone whose life is characterized by those items that we've listed here in Galatians 5 and say, well, I think he's a spiritual person. If he is caught up practicing these things, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul gives us more here. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual or spiritual men, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat or solid food. For hitherto, or what Paul says, up to this point you have not been able to bear it, neither are you yet now able to bear it. You know what Paul is saying? I can't really share with you some of the deeper and more difficult to understand doctrinal truths about our faith. Verse 3, because you're yet carnal, not spiritual, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? You say, Pastor, I know that these things are not spirituality. And if we were trying to define what is spirituality, we certainly wouldn't suggest things like that. Good. Because number two, let's see if we can find the characteristics of it. The characteristics of it. Spirituality, number one, signifies the control of the believer's life. spirituality, if we talk about someone who, as they were to search out and find seven men full of the Holy Spirit, the first characteristic would be we would see that that person's life is controlled by the Spirit. Controlled by the Spirit. Now, Paul described this in Romans chapter 6. Let's turn there. Notice in verses 11 through 13, Paul said, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, or be in control of what you do, that you should obey it," the sin in its lusts thereof, "neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin." What do you yield your life to? What do you yield your body to? That's what Paul is instructing here. "But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Seek out, search, look for seven men, honorable, honest, and full of the Spirit of God. What are they yielding their members to? What characterizes their life? What do they, how do they live their lives? In Galatians 5:16, Paul said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit, and you will not be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And we read those things. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would or want to. But if you are led of the Spirit, you're not under the law, and you're not under the workings of the flesh. As we think of this, as we look at Romans 6, 11 through 13, we looked at Galatians 5, 16, and perhaps some of you are saying, okay, looking for someone who is full of the Spirit. All right, Pastor, it's one who is controlled or yielded to the Spirit in their daily life. I get that. But how does one know? How does one know that they are walking in the Spirit? How would we know if our assignment was to pick out seven men full of the Holy Spirit? Is there anything we can look for? Yeah. It's called fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. look at verses 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. If one is walking in the Spirit, verse 16 of Galatians 5, that one will not be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And we saw in verses 19 through 21 some of the most notable works of the flesh. But for one who is walking in the Spirit, there will be evidence by the presence of the Spirit's fruit in the life of that believer. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. Not just that mushy-gushy, you get the shivers and the chills sort of thing. Love comes from whom? Love comes from God. Love is returned when the flesh wants to cry out and say, you did that to me, and I'm going to do this to you in return. But when one is walking in the Spirit, it's not eye for eye, tooth for tooth, but God's love is returned to that one. You and I can't fathom it yet. You and I can't fathom it yet. And boy, I'll tell you, I'm just true confessions here. That old flesh likes to rear up its ugly old head and tit for tat, you give it to me, I'll give it to you. You say, yes, sir. I'm just like you. I put my right foot in the leg of my jeans first, just like you do when you put them on in the morning. And most of you do shove your right foot first. I'm a human being, and I struggle. And the old flesh wants to keep. You say that the flesh died. Okay. We died. But it's having, you know, have you ever noticed? It's dead. You were, as he quickened, we were dead in trespasses and sin. He's given us life. But that old nature sure, like, it's sure having a hard time letting go. Mine does. How about yours? It's not only love, it's joy. Joy. One of the things that, once again, I struggle with is this matter of being joyful in all circumstances, rather than complaining with dissatisfaction. Ever been there, done that? Well, I do. Sometimes my wife musters up the courage to say, oh, stop your complaining. I deserve it. Joyful. That's something the Holy Spirit produces. That's not something that you or I can, oh man,
this is non-sour, this is bad, I'm just going to be joyful about it. No, that's as fake as could be. But when we are walking in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust or the desires of the flesh. And the flesh wants to complain, and the flesh wants to stir up all, but the Spirit, if I am walking in the Spirit, will put out the fruit of joyfulness, peace. Peace. How many of you ever get uptight over the situations of life and things that are going on, and you're not very happy about it, and there's anything but peace in your heart? One hand. Two hands. How about that? Yeah. Peace. John, in our Sunday school lesson this morning in 1 Peter chapter 3, chapter 2, we came to that verse how that we are to be submissive to every ordinance of man. For the Lord's sake, whether it be to kings or supreme or governors or whatever, this is the will of God. We didn't have time. Emily buzzed the buzzer before he got to verse 15. This is God's will for our life, that we be submissive to the ordinances of man, as long as that ordinance is not instructing us to do something in direct violation with what God's word tells us. Then, like in the book of Acts, we ought to obey God rather than men. But if it is not, it doesn't matter whether we like the ordinance or not. It doesn't matter whether we agree with it or not. We're to submit. And as we think about this, we think of even what we are reading here. The fruit of the Spirit is not frenzy and not uptight, but peace. We can have peace in our hearts knowing that the ordinance that this one in authority has given, God put that person there, and I can be at peace with it, whether I like it or not, rather than having strife. Long suffering. Go Lord. Long suffering. This doesn't just mean somebody who is struggling with health issues and you're suffering because of poor health. No, this is someone who their tongue, the color in their face, their actions, it's under the control of the Spirit. The Spirit of God, when something is going against them. Long suffering. I want to blow my stack over it. But the Holy Spirit says, it's okay. That's okay. He was endured this. You let it go. Accept it. Let me give you the ability to handle it with long suffering rather than blowing up in someone's face about something that was said or something that was done. What about the next one? Gentleness. Gentleness. Well, that's a feminine quality, being gentle. Who said that? say, Pastor, you mean the Spirit of God wants to lead us to be gentle? Absolutely, when the time is right. Gentleness is godly. We want to be tough. We want to be macho. But the Spirit of God says, I want you to be gentle in this situation, with this, these people, that situation, and the way things are progressing. But I think the Holy Spirit says, I'll give you the ability if you'll just let me control your emotions and your desires. Goodness. Sometimes I think we live in a world that people don't even know what is good anymore. I believe that. Some of the laws that are passed, some of the things that are done and are admonished and are exalted, it's anything but good. We know what goodness is, though. But sometimes, in the heat of the battle, we don't want to return goodness. And the Holy Spirit says, if you'll yield control to me, I'll show you how to respond with goodness, because it's the right thing to do for that person in this situation. Faith, that is believing when we can't see the results, isn't it? Faith. I wish I could see how this is going to work out. And I'm not so sure that I... Faith. I think I better take matters in my own hands here. Faith. Just trust God. Meekness. Sometimes we have the wrong idea that meekness is synonymous with weakness. You ever heard that? Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under control. Our Lord was meek. Would you say our Lord was weak? No, he showed meekness in every situation when that was the right situation, that was the right response. Finally, temperance. Temperance. Keeping a lid on our emotions. And against these things, Paul says, there is no law. You know what he said? These things are always right. But the natural flesh can't produce them. How does it come about? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust or the desires of the flesh. Well, we've seen how to measure spirituality, what it's not. And we've looked at some of the characteristics. Third question. Who can be spiritual? Who can be spiritual? The very absolute starting requirement is, let's make sure we understand. It means that one, number one, has been born again. by the Spirit of God. The natural man understands nothing of the Spirit of God, has no capacity to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, but who can be spiritual? Number one, the person has to be saved. In John chapter 3, as he met with Nicodemus, who came to see him at night, Jesus said in verses 5 through 8, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." We have to be brought to the point where we become a child of God by grace through faith. "The wind bloweth where it willeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." In Romans chapter 9, Paul said this, verses 9 through 11. Pardon me, Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. "You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Once again, who can be spiritual? One who has been born again by the Spirit of God. Requirement. Absolute requirement. "And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Verse 14, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So, you say that I've done that, Pastor. I have accepted the Lord as my own personal Savior. That's great. If you're here and you never have before, you can, by repenting of your sin and accepting the finished work of Jesus Christ in your behalf. He's not going to force it on you. You must act on it. You must ask for it. You must accept what Christ has done for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, is what Paul answered the Philippian jailer when he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And his answer in Acts 16 was what? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." So, for the true believer, there are some wrong ideas, though, in answering this question. Who can be spiritual? There are some things that we need to set aside and make sure we're not embracing some of these false ideas. One would be, "But Pastor, I can't be spiritual because I never had the opportunity to go to a Bible school like you did." Show me that in Scripture. That true spirituality is dependent upon somebody having the opportunity of going to a Bible school. And doesn't have anything to do with it. "But I can't be spiritual because, you know, I don't really have any particular ministry in the body. Now, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you do have a gift because the Holy Spirit has gifted every true believer with at least one gift. How are you using that gift if you know the Lord as your Savior? Are you looking to the Lord to see how to use that gift He has gifted you with? You see, true spirituality is not dependent upon a ministry. That's not a requirement. I just have a secular job. You know, I just have a 9-to-5, 5 days a week job, and there's no way that I could be a spiritual being. Show me that in the Bible. That's a misnomer. Well, I'm just X number of years old. I'm not old enough to be a spiritual person. Now, I know the Bible talks about there are certain times that we look at someone and consider them, for instance, in placing them in positions of leadership in a church. Paul mentioned in Titus and Timothy, not a novice, which means not somebody who has just accepted the Lord as their own personal Savior. You don't grab him by the nape of the neck and say, I'm going to put you in a leadership position here in the church. If that, yeah, you need more years. But show me in the Bible where a certain age is required. Let me tell you what the problem is as I think about this matter of age and spirituality. In Hebrews chapter 5, the writer of Hebrews, there's debate about that. The writer of Hebrews chapter 5 said here in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again those things which are the first principles of the oracles of God, and you are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. There, Pastor, see? I said, I'm not old enough. No. It has nothing to do with years when Paul says strong meat belongeth to those that are of full age. It means those who have matured in their walk with the Lord. And those can take the meat of the Word. So it's not a certain age. It depends on the maturity. It depends on, you see, spirituality. Any believer who will yield to the Spirit, yield their life to the Spirit, can be spiritual. You can be just as full of the Spirit raking leaves as the man preaching in the pulpit or the woman teaching a Bible study in some jungle somewhere.
You can be full of the Spirit wherever you are if you know the Lord as your own personal Savior. How's this possible? Because though there are many members in the body of Christ, there is only one body, one Spirit, and the Spirit of God has enabled members of the body of Christ with at least one gift. What are you doing with what God has given you? A Spirit-filled life is a yielded life measured by the fruit that is produced by the Spirit of God. And in closing, my prayer is, may God help us to be yielded to the Spirit. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, that we can look at this. I thank you for the opportunity that is ours. Spend this time in your word. Spend this time and realize the fact that because of your work in our behalf, our life does not have to be characterized by the works of the flesh and the things of it. Our life, your desire for us, is that our life be characterized by the fruit the Holy Spirit produces when we yield our lives to you. Thank you, Father, that you don't ask us to produce it. You produce that fruit in a heart and life that is emptied of self and is dependent upon you. May we take this to heart. And if there are any that have never trusted you as their own personal Savior, listen. We ask, Lord, that you would draw them unto yourself. Open their eyes of faith to see that Christ has done everything for them, has paid the price, and can be their Savior and Lord if they would put their faith in you. Thank you now in your name.